ready to unlock some uncommon profits with us today.
Let's do it.
We're diving deep into the world of Philip Fisher and his legendary investment approach, talking about his book, Common Stocks and Uncommon Profits.
Right.
And we're going to really be focusing on the introduction by his son, Ken Fisher,
Yeah.
which is amazing because it's like getting a backstage pass into how Philip Fisher's mind worked.
It's fascinating how Ken Fisher doesn't just tell stories about his father,
Yeah.
but kind of illuminates the why behind the what. And I think that's really helpful when you're trying to glean wisdom from these pages, not just facts.
Absolutely. It's like we have a direct line to one of the greatest investment minds ever. So at the heart of Fisher's approach is this thing he calls the 15 points. And they're
Yeah.
not your average bullet
Yeah.
points, right?
Right.
He really used these to evaluate a company's potential for growth. And one of the most interesting ones, at least to me, is what he calls scuttlebutt. But before you picture sailors whispering secrets on a dock, let's dive into what Fisher really meant.
It's not rumors, it's not gossip. It's about going straight to the source.
Okay.
So let's say you want to invest in, I don't know, a company that makes these amazing headphones.
Okay.
Fisher would tell you to go talk to their customers, the people who use those headphones every day.
You mean like actually go out there and talk to people, like real life customers?
Exactly. What do they think? Why did they choose those headphones over others? Go talk to the people who work in the factories where the headphones are made.
Wow.
What's the company culture like? Are people excited about the products?
So the takeaway here is you shouldn't just rely on like public information and stuff, but actually talk to people like on the ground, whether it's customers or employees or even competitors, to get a real feel for what's going on.
Get the inside scoop, the kind of information you're not going to find in an annual report.
Oh, I love it. It's like detective work for investors, really.
It is.
And speaking of people, you know, Fisher wasn't just focused on CEOs.
Right.
He believed that a company's real strength was its entire team. So tell me a little bit about that.
He argued that you could have a fantastic product, but if you don't have the right people to build it and market it and sell it,
Yeah.
it's going nowhere. And he highlighted companies, for instance, like Motorola and Texas Instruments, who really invested in their employees, offered training programs, created a culture where everyone felt valued, everyone felt like they could contribute ideas.
Can you imagine that? Feeling like you are actually a part of something bigger than yourself, no matter what your job title was?
It makes a huge difference, right?
Yeah.
And so Fisher recognized that a company's true assets are its people. And so he wasn't just looking for companies with like smart leaders, but a deep bench of talent.
Okay, so we've got the scuttlebutt, we've got the people. What
Yes.
else was on Fisher's radar when he was sizing up a company?
Well, this might surprise you, but Philip Fisher, he wasn't a huge fan of dividends.
Wait, really? I thought investors love getting those like regular payouts and stuff.
They can be very appealing, right? But Fisher saw it differently. He believed that companies that paid out big dividends, they were actually missing a golden opportunity
Okay.
to reinvest those profits back into the business.
So it's like choosing between a small treat now or a much bigger reward later.
It's about playing the long game.
Right.
Fisher would say, why give that money away when you can use it to develop new products or expand into new markets, maybe even acquire other companies?
It's about thinking bigger, bolder,
Exactly.
not getting distracted by those like smaller, shorter term gains.
Exactly. And this ties into another really important point, which is that Fisher wasn't afraid to go against the grain
Okay.
when it came to picking stocks. He wasn't afraid to invest in companies that others might have overlooked or even dismissed.
So you mean he was like a contrarian investor?
Absolutely. He saw the danger in just blindly following the crowd,
Right.
and he believed that by doing your own research, by thinking for yourself, you could find opportunities that everyone else had missed.
Can you imagine having the conviction to invest in something that everyone else seems to be ignoring?
He wasn't afraid to zig when everyone else was zagging,
Wow.
and his track record shows that it paid off handsomely.
That's incredible. So he was a big believer in independent thinking.
Absolutely. And deep focus. You know, Ken Fisher talks about how his father could be incredibly focused, sometimes to the point of being oblivious to what was happening around him.
Wow, so not just marching to the beat of his own drum, but maybe writing his own music entirely.
Exactly. But this intense focus was absolutely crucial to his success because it allowed him to block out the noise and really understand a business on a much deeper level. And that leads us to another important point, which is that Fisher, He believed in looking beyond the numbers.
Beyond the numbers. What does that mean? Don't balance sheets and income statements paint a clear picture of a company's health?
Well, they're part of the picture, for sure.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Fisher would say it's like trying to understand a great piece of art just by, you know, looking at the brushstrokes.
Right.
You're missing the emotion. You're missing the story. You're missing the artist's intention.
Yeah.
He wanted to understand a company's long-term vision.
Okay.
Were they investing in research and development? Were they adapting to changing markets? Were they led by passionate, driven people?
Right.
He was looking for that spark, that je ne sais quoi, that made a company more than just a collection of numbers on a page.
He wanted to understand the why behind the numbers, right?
Yeah.
Like take a company like Campbell Soup.
Oh.
On the surface, you might think, soup, what's so exciting about that? But Fisher saw beyond the obvious.
What did he see? I mean, did he just like really like soup? What was it?
He recognized the power of their brand, their efficient operations, and their dominance in the market. He was looking for this thing that we call a durable competitive advantage.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that gives a company an edge over its rivals, not just for a year or two,
right,
but for the long haul.
So what sets apart like the flash in the pan companies from the ones that are really built to last?
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Durable competitive advantage.
It's the difference between like, you know, a trendy product and a company that's constantly innovating, evolving.
Right.
Think about a company like DuPont.
Okay.
I mean, they've been around for over two centuries.
Wow.
They've seen it all, adapted, and continued to thrive.
That's incredible. Over 200 years. Okay, so I want to get into the part about investing that always makes me a bit squeamish, and that is knowing when to sell. What did Fisher have to say about that?
Well, I mean, this is where his long-term mindset really shines through. You know, he would tell you that if you've done your research, if you found a company with that durable competitive advantage,
mm-hmm,
and you're confident in their ability to keep growing,
right,
then why sell just because the price has gone up?
It's so tempting though, right? You see those gains and you're just like, man, I just want to cash in, like walk away.
He compared it to selling a contract you had with a promising classmate. Just because someone offered you a 600% return,
right,
if you truly believed that this classmate was destined for greatness, would you sell that contract?
It's a good point.
Right.
That's such a smart way to think about it. It's like you're not just buying a stock, you're investing in a company's future.
Exactly. And sometimes that future plays out over, you know, decades.
Right.
Not just years.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean that Fisher believed in holding on to every stock forever.
Right.
He outlined a few scenarios where selling might make sense.
Okay, so when should we consider hitting that sell button?
Well, first of all, you know, we all make mistakes.
Yeah.
That's part of the game.
It happened.
And if you realize that you've made a mistake,
right,
the best thing you can do is cut your losses and move on.
Easier said than done, though, right?
Right.
No one likes to admit they're wrong.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But, you know, holding on to a losing stock and hoping it's magically going to rebound,
right,
can be even more costly in the long run.
Oh, absolutely.
The second reason is, if the company's story has fundamentally changed,
okay,
maybe the management team is gone. Maybe they've lost their competitive advantage. Maybe their long-term prospects have dimmed.
Yeah, so if the story is not the same as when you first invested, maybe it's time to kind of close the book.
Exactly. And then lastly, there's the scenario where, you know, you find a much more compelling opportunity. It's like upgrading your phone.
Okay.
You know, you don't ditch a perfectly good phone just because a new model comes out.
Right.
But if that new phone offers like major improvements or just, you know, better fits your needs,
then it might be worth making the switch.
Right. But like you said, do your research, make sure it's truly an upgrade.
This is all gold.
Right.
But I have to know, what was it like to get this glimpse into Philip Fisher's world through his son's eyes?
Mm.
Ken Fisher's introduction must be filled with like incredible stories and insights. What was it like reading that?
It really is. And it's clear that Ken Fisher has, you know, immense respect and admiration for his father. But he doesn't shy away from sharing some of his quirks. Like, for example, Philip Fisher was known for being incredibly focused, almost to a fault.
To a fault? What does that mean?
Well, Ken Fisher tells this great story about how his father almost missed out on this huge investment opportunity.
What happened?
Because he was so focused on short-term price movements that he almost missed the bigger picture.
Oh, he got caught up in the weeds and almost missed the forest for the trees.
Exactly.
Wow, that's a great reminder for us to keep our eyes on the prize.
And it's such a classic mistake
Right.
Even for the best investors.
Yeah.
But it also speaks to another important point, which is that even with all of the research and analysis in the world, human emotions still play a role.
Fear and greed, right.
Right.
Those emotions can really cloud your judgment.
Absolutely. And that's where having a clear investment philosophy,
right,
like the one that Philip Fisher outlines in Common Stocks and Uncommon Profits, is so crucial because it helps you stay grounded, make rational decisions, and avoid those emotional pitfalls that can derail even the most seasoned investor.
Absolutely.
It's like having that playbook or that kind of that North Star that keeps you grounded no matter what's happening in the market around you.
Exactly. It's about removing the emotion from the equation as much as possible.
Right.
And, you know, going back to what we were talking about with Fisher's emphasis on finding those companies with a durable competitive advantage, that really ties directly into his views on when to sell.
Okay.
Because he believed that if you found one of these truly exceptional companies,
yeah,
you shouldn't be afraid to hold on to it for the long haul.
Even if the price goes down. Even if, like, everyone else is selling.
Especially then.
Really?
He saw those dips in the market as opportunities to buy more of a great company.
Yeah.
At a discount, right?
Right.
He understood that the market often overreacts to kind of short-term news and events.
Mm-hmm.
And that true investors, they should be looking beyond those fluctuations and focusing on the long-term value of the businesses they own.
That's easier said than done, though, right? It takes a lot of discipline, a lot of conviction to kind of tune out all that noise.
Absolutely.
Do you think that's something that, you know, anyone can learn? Or was Philip Fisher just, like, wired differently?
You know, Ken Fisher talks about how his father was constantly reading, constantly researching, always challenging his own assumptions, never stopped learning. And I think that's one of the most important lessons we could take from his story.
Yeah.
Is that investing isn't just about picking stocks.
Right.
It's about cultivating that mindset of, you know, continuous learning, continuous growth.
So it's less about having a crystal ball and more about having a curious mind and the willingness to actually put in the work.
Absolutely. And don't forget the patience.
Oh, the patience.
Because Philip Fisher believed that true wealth, you know, it wasn't built overnight.
Right.
It came from finding those exceptional companies and letting them compound their earnings over time.
It's like planting a seed and letting it grow into a mighty oak. It takes time, but the rewards can be extraordinary.
Right.
So, you know, as we wrap up this deep dive into Philip Fisher's Common Stocks and Uncommon Profits, what's the one big takeaway you hope our listeners walk away with?
You know, I think the big takeaway is that Philip Fisher's investment philosophy, it's more than just, you know, a set of rules.
Right.
It's a way of thinking.
Yeah.
It's about being independent, doing your research, and having the courage to invest in your convictions.
Absolutely. It's about seeing the bigger picture, tuning out all that noise, and remembering that when it comes to investing, slow and steady often wins the race.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
So grab yourself a copy of Common Stocks and Uncommon Profits and start your journey to uncommon profits today.